What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Dolphins Collective, or the Dolphins Collective. Observations from Dolphins OTAs. Week two, it is. These two gentlemen were actually present, so we cannot wait to hear what they thought about everything that they saw today. With that and more, right here on Dolphins Collective. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get started. But first and foremost, shout out to Doug Lee Durong. Y'all make sure y'all go check him out. He's not going to be with us tonight, but he will be with us on Friday. And we're going to have a lot to discuss because even more news is going to be coming out, coming up to post June 1st. You know, we get some money. You know, we get some money in our pocket. We won't be as broke anymore. You know, so, hey, we're going to be having some fun going into next week. So get ready for that as well. All right. But listen, we're going to dive right in. But we want you to know this stream is being powered by Prize Picks. We're going to get into more of that as we go. Y'all hit that like button. All right, man. OTAs are here. Y'all got to tell me what you saw today. You got to tell me how you felt
ask
about
some
it.
Questions. Ask some questions.
There you go.
I'm going to ask questions. I'm actually warming it up a little bit. But you know what?
The people. Oh, people in the comments. Y'all ask questions because y'all want to know. Yes. Let's do that.
If you have any questions, make sure you ask them in the comment section so that we can make sure that we cover it tonight. But players on the mend is the first topic up. Then we're going to be talking about the punching defense that we discovered today. And then the other Malik, I can't wait to talk about this one. I don't know what that's about. We're going to find out. And the Cannon. Yeah, Alan. All right, we go see.
I have nothing to do with it.
I know. Trust me, he let me know what time it was, but it's all good. Listen, players on the men, we're going to start there. We're going to open it up with Alan here. When we talk about players on the men, who do you have in mind right now?
Well, no, they have a few players who have not participated in OTAs. And we saw at practice last week, as I'm getting a lot of noise here in the house, so my folks realize I'm doing a podcast here. I'm in my office with the door closed. But anyway, I digress. So at the first OTA last week that was open to the media, we saw a couple of guys who were there not participating, Devon Achane, Austin Jackson, Jeff Hafley provided some answers before practice on Wednesday. Austin Jackson, and the term he used for both Jackson, Achane, and Storm Duck was they had stuff cleaned up, which kind of suggests they all had surgery for injuries that occurred in 2025. Devon Achane was the shoulder. Austin Jackson was that foot injury that kept him out for 11 games. And Storm Duck was the knee injury.
Remember, Austin Jackson came back, suffered the foot injury in training camp, came back too early, played in the season opener and re-aggravated the injury, then came back again, remember, and played through it, and Hafley credited him for playing through pain.
And if you remember also, Austin told us upon his return, his later return, that he was advised early on, you may want to have that surgically repaired at the time, but that would have meant being out for the season, and Jackson decided, no, I'm going to tough it out. And this is a little bit of a contrast to James Daniels. And part of the reason that maybe the Dolphins were a lot more open to keeping Austin Jackson than James Daniels. Where's the lie?
I'm not going to argue with you on this because I'm sorry. Taking a $2 million cap hit to get rid of a player who potentially could be good. Sorry.
$5 million. Hey, they took a $99 million.
No. I'm talking about in loss of money.
It could be good also.
No, that ain't true, Alan.
It's $5 million, James Daniels, by the way. $5 million.
Oh, my God.
No. But they in cap space lost. I don't care about the cap hit. In cap space lost, it was a $2 million loss.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Dead cap is cap money that you lost. There was $5 million with James Daniels. Come on, Lamar. We have to teach you this again.
At Ian Mason said, Austin Jackson injured. Shocker, I tell you.
Can we put some respect on Austin Jackson's name? Because the man played through a bad foot injury, a broken foot. Like, a lot of people would have shut it down. Here's the thing I don't like about when players do play through things like that. They put out mediocre film, and then everybody's like, see, told you he's washed up. Mm. See, look at him. He's not good. Austin Jackson has been more than serviceable when healthy.
Okay. Yeah, me and Allen was waiting on
More than serviceable when healthy. You see how I did that?
We found the right words.
Well done.
But we're sitting here evaluating him and shaking him down over fighting through an injury. And then when guys don't fight through injuries, then we be like, oh, that guy soft. Oh, that guy, that way he ain't got no heart. He not all for the team. There's no win in this situation.
But here's the thing, though. It doesn't change the fact that nobody's calling Austin Jackson soft. The fact is he's had a run of injuries, and that's undeniable. That's one body part after another, and unfortunately—
Somebody stepped on his foot. What did he do about that?
Nothing.
And then he fought to get back for the season opener and re-aggravated again. What did he do about that?
He deserves a lot of respect. And it was the same thing actually that happened to him, as I recall. Was it his rookie year? He had an ankle injury and he came back and then re-injured it also. I mean, it's like
look at that.
Well, the elephant in the room.
And his best season, he played through an oblique injury in the second half of the year, and nobody remembers that. But yes. Hmm.
So the elephant in the room when it comes to Austin Jackson, okay, he's hurt. Well, he's not. He's recovering right now. When is he going to be back?
We had this discussion last week. I said I don't want to see him until the season opener. Not in a game.
But the point of the matter is he going to be ready for the season opener at least?
He can get ready during the season. He's on the Teron Armstead program for me. And on top of that,
he's not Teron Armstead.
I know he's not. And on top of that, but I just got to get him healthy. I just got to get him and keep him healthy.
Okay, so it's fine to me. Okay, then keep him out of preseason games. That's fine. But this BS of like, no, maintenance program. He's not practicing.
I'm fine if he practiced, but I don't need him the first couple weeks of training camp. I don't need him in 11-on-11s. Like, you could do one-on-ones. You could do, one-on-ones, but funny, he got injured in one-on-ones. Here's the thing about today. I asked Halfley specifically, if you're not going to have Austin Jackson all OTAs, all offseason, why are you not working the rookie at the position you damn well know he's going to ultimately play? And his response...
We think.
If you are going to play him at guard for his career, you should have got Vega. End of conversation. So you know you're going to transition him to tackle eventually. Let's not be naive. He's going to be the right tackle next year. So why not begin the process now? And his response is, basically, we want to give the rookies an opportunity to be successful and have them stay at that one spot and follow through with that vision. And basically, and this is all the rookies, just put enough on their plate so that they don't get too overwhelmed and they have a chance to have success.
He also insinuated, if you read between the lines, or the way I read it between the lines, was this applied for the offseason program. Let's revisit the training camp.
That is true.
Then they might move him around. So the players on the men are those guys. Chris Bell continues to work. He's there all the time, but obviously he's not practicing.
Cameron Good is.
Jeff Halfley was asked about a timetable for Chris Bell, and not surprisingly, no, they're not going to put a timetable. Remember, Mike McDaniel's thing was like, no, I'm not doing timetables. And generally speaking, coaches don't like to do timetables because if that timetable is not met, then the media are going to be like, hey, you told us he's going to be back in 2 weeks. Cameron Good. I did see him out there, but he's not practicing. I don't recall if he was injured late last season or what. Who else? Robert Jr.
Robert
Beal Jr., new edge defender. We did not spot Daryl Baker Jr., the cornerback free agent from Tennessee. And this other absence, We do not know whether it's injury related, personal issue, or I just didn't want to be there. Aaron Brewer was not there.
Because of contract. And it could possibly, he's supposed to be next in line for a deal. So, you know, also I want to point out that Aaron Brewer generally does not participate in OTAs. He's been rehabbing both years and not participating in OTAs. This has been the first year that I've seen him participate in OTAs. Obviously, there's a push to get the contract done. The Dolphins already gave him most of his salary in changing up in a bonus for this season to create room for the trade of Jalen Waddle. I forget all my Jalens. But he was not there. And truthfully speaking, I don't even take role for OTAs because it's voluntary. And as players, veteran players have once told me, they only showed up to OTAs that the media attended, and they did not come to any other ones. So,
correct. We don't get a practice report when we're not out there, so we do not know, which is why also I always, when I wear a part of this story on MiamiDolphinsInside.com, I always make it a point to not make general statements over all the OTAs because this was the second practice of the week. They have a third one on Friday. They had two last week we didn't see. So we basically were getting three of their nine OTAs that we're going to get to watch, plus the three mini camp days. But we can, so you can only comment on what we saw, and what we saw today was pretty rough stuff from your dude, your man crush, Malik Willis, kind of spraying the ball.
Well, we're going to talk about that, Alan. We're going to talk about you getting your eyes checked from what happened today. And maybe Omar too, but we'll get into that right now. We need to go to the MVPs of the day, the defense, calling themselves the punching defense, courtesy of Allen. Based off of, you know, just, you know, people that were not there, the overall consensus is as if the defense was flying around making plays as some rising stars, some guys that are in second years might be coming along, stuff like that. Now, we'll start with Omar this time. Talk to me, man. We got us a defense coming together?
It's hard for me to sit here and say, yes, as Alan likes to say, simmer down. I saw some good plays on ball. We saw Ethan Bonner force a fumble, pick it up. We saw something more. What is his name?
Lewis Moore.
Was that an interception that he pulled up? Yes, stepped in front of a pass from Cam Miller, took it, pick six. Those were nice. There were a lot of good deflections. I think a couple more forced fumbles. Those are great things to see. Yeah, there was a couple forced fumbles. But I will say this. Remember, there is no pass. There's no running in OTAs. So it's pass. And once you are in that situation and you know what's going to come, it's a lot easier for the defense to play to what they're preparing for, as opposed to having to not know whether or not there's going to be a run or a pass. Now, even with that said, I'm not sure you got a receiver on this team that would be another team's number three. And I'm Name who would Alan? Who would be another team's number three?
Come on, now, Alan. Don't disappoint.
Evaluation. This is the part, TD. I'm going to break your heart again, but Caleb.
No. Thank you all for tuning in.
That's a slack down today. He was not sharp. And Malik Washington right now, this I have the other Malik that was my suggestion at the top, because right now to me he's easily the most impressive looking wide receiver on this roster.
Absolutely. No question. And
does he look like a number two?
No.
Malik Washington is not a number two.
Let's stop.
I'm just talking about what he looks like.
I mean, probably going to be a number one here, but is he a number two on another team, Alan Pappard?
No, I mean, and I've said this before about Malik Washington. He's tough. He's smart. He's dependable. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of smallish, and he's not necessarily
fast
or elusive. So he's limited athletically, but he's, again, he's a guy who's going to have a 10-year, 12-year NFL career,
Calm down, Alan. Simmer down.
That's right.
I go as far as 7-8. Calm down.
Well, like, he stays healthy, obviously, but he's a guy because of the intangibles. To me, he's a guy who's, you know, that coaches like, but he's not a difference maker. And right now, like, Chris Bell can't work just yet.
Where's Tolbert and Tutu?
I mean, they're making some plays here and there, but there's nothing that where you go, whoa, look what we got here.
Yeah.
And Caleb Douglas was doing this all day. And I'm not doing 6-7.
He was really dropping the ball.
He was fighting it. And then he had a low pass late in the session that was a catchable ball. Tough catch, but if you're a number one receiver, kind of have to make
the
that
best game. Receiver of the day was Devon McMullen. McCulley. 6'4", big size. He had like 3-4 passes, something over the middle from one of the what?
Well, I only saw one catch. It was really, really good.
No. He had more than one reception. Right. He probably had about 3 receptions. He had a good day for, I believe it was Cam Miller. But I liked what I saw a little bit from Kevin Coleman Jr. With the exception of special teams, he had a very bad punt return fumble or kickoff return fumble. Did it right in front of Chris Tabor, who basically cursed him out. And I can't tell you what he said because it's against the rules, but
gosh darn it, Kevin, can you do a better job of handling that assignment? I believe it's something.
Yeah. Rookie, get your booty out of your you know, get your head out of your booty. And I like coaches like that because that would have been a play. It was fumbled and it was fumbled forward bad. And that would have been a play that we saw Malik Washington do that against Green Bay. It would have cost you 7.
Was it? Wow. Did anybody fumble forward fast?
I see what you did there.
Zach Sealer, by the way, was asked one of the differences that he's noticed so far from the new coaching staff, and he talked about candid truth was the term he used, and what Omar was talking about, like coaches getting in their face. To let him know, love you, buddy, but you messed that up. You find out what went wrong, fix it, get it right the next time was kind of what he was talking about, and that would apply right there. For punching defense was an over my topic. That's something that struck me. I don't recall the last time I saw a practice where the Dolphin defenders were punching at the ball as much as they were. And Omar keeps saying, and Omar is not the only one. A couple of the other writers were talking about like these forced fumbles. Some of those were PBUs where it would have had a 7-minute replay to see whether the catch was completed. Like Juju Brents had one, maybe on AJ Henning. I'm not sure.
That was very early.
Yeah. Ethan Bonner, the one against Greg Dulcich, was right after the catch is a fumble, a pass breakup. Who cares?
Let's also acknowledge the fact that a lot of these passes were kind of off target.
A lot of them, yeah.
Off target spray. There were some hospital balls. There might have been 8 hospital balls. And
well, they're learning the offense and the tendencies right now, right?
What I liked and respected were you could clearly see that there was a mandate. Let's throw more aggressive passes. Let's stop with this check down crap, which I'm glad we discussed it yesterday because I didn't want to say it to you, TD, because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. But Malik, though, a whole lot of check down, my dog.
I think that's the strength of his game, though.
If strength check down is the strength of your game.
No.
Any number two.
Here's the difference between Malik Willis. It's like in the NFL, if you got a 10-foot window, which is only 3 yards, right? Every quarterback in the NFL is going to take that shot. Every quarterback, right?
Yeah.
But if you have a 6-foot window, which is 2 yards, only 7 quarterbacks in the league taking that shot.
No, more than 7 taking.
Yeah. No. They all hide from that. And Malik Willis is that. He's that 6. He's one of those 7, in my opinion. And you only have 3 quarterbacks that's going to take that 3-foot window. in this league. He's one of Omar, he's one of those seven. But what he does is, if it's not there, I'm gonna take this check down in stride and turn four into seven.
Or run.
And, but that's why he's so efficient as a quarterback, too, though.
In this,
yeah,
his six career starts in 4 years.
In his six career starts, but I'm telling you, that's why his numbers were so efficient, because he took what they gave him and didn't take unnecessary risk, and that's why his passer rating was what it was. That's why he was able to have an 85% completion percentage.
Okay, but again, today he was off, and then when he went to throw every pass that was a little bit downfield, it wasn't great.
Quinn Ewers had a better day today. Easily. It's not even debatable. Now, Quinn got back to throwing bolder throws. That's what impressed me about Quinn as a rookie, especially when he developed chemistry with wide receivers. He threw bold passes. Now, I've always evaluated quarterbacks, and we said it yesterday. You got to throw big boy passes. These NFL receivers are not always open. Or open is a split second, and you got to throw it before they even make their break. Right now, I don't think Malik is doing that. I don't think he has the chemistry with his wide receivers. His wide receivers might not have much talent. And there's some comfort that needs to be gained in the pocket, because Chop Robinson ain't that good.
You're skipping ahead. Hold on. Sorry to interrupt, Omar, but since you're mentioning Chop Robinson, and the last time there was nothing but 7-on-7s, today they actually did some 11-on-11s. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be pointed out, 11-on-11 in OTAs massively favors the defense, because they're going to run fast off the snap, whereas the offensive linemen are not necessarily allowed to like really punch them very hard because it's an OTA. So
they don't have to worry about the run. So it's just
get up. That's the part of it.
So Chop Robinson on Keon Smith, that's not a fair battle. It's not. He did get some success against Patrick Paul as well. But I'm not worried about Chop Robinson as a pass rusher. That ain't my problem. I did watch Austin Jackson do his position work. And I will tell you, and this is the only place I'm going to tell you, there was one guy who had to do his drill three times over because he was poorly setting the edge and having bad eye placement. And y'all can figure out who that was on your own. I'm not going to tell you.
On the defense?
On the defense, yes. And he happens to be a first-round pick. So.
Charles Harris? No, sorry.
Deion Jordan is back, man.
Let's not say those names. Because here's the thing. We know Chop can pass rush. Everybody can agree to that, correct?
But how well can he pass rush?
We know he can do it.
Sure. Yeah.
We know he can do it. Like, his rookie season, didn't he, like, set ridiculous pressure numbers? Like,
second half of the year was good.
Second half. Hasn't proven he could do is set the edge. And maybe coaches are being harder on him, but I did see the first drill. Here's the thing. Austin Clark is specifically showing you what he wants in every single drill. There are four or five guys who go before you. You're standing there watching it. Why is it that you don't do it like the other guys? And I was like, what the, you know, It was a drill where they had to move the blocker out, put the eyes in the right place so they could see what happened. And what do you see Halfley talking to Chop Robinson about? Your eye placement. Like, bro, he moved the blocking sled and put it right in front of him. I'm like, huh? The whole point is putting it to the side and being able to peek out. And I'm like, you've been here 2 years and you don't know this? But Zach Sealer said, this is the first year that the entire defensive line is in one room and will play as one unit. And that gives it a chance. Before, they were being coached on different things and didn't play as one unit, didn't watch film as one unit, other than when they were in the defensive meetings. But now as a unit, Austin Clark is coaching all of them. So now that you say to me, I'm putting it in Austin Clark's hands and making it his responsibility, I feel a little bit more confident, because I can't tell you any time Austin Clark has disappointed me, you know, in terms of what he can produce. You give him something, it's going to get better. So, you know, let's put the hope there.
Well said. Yeah, that's a change from last year, that Austin Clark last year coached the interior defensive lineman. This year he's got all the defensive linemen, including, if you want to call them that, the edge defenders. So that's a change.
I want to go back to Malik for a second here. I mean, are y'all saying this man was terrible? Malik Willis. He was terrible?
No, he was bad. I didn't say terrible. He was bad.
Was he like four interception OTA rainy day?
No, but it wasn't accurate. Let's say C minus D plus.
Oh, D plus. I'm not even putting it in the C realm. It was a D plus performance. If that was taken to a game,
Alan, I'll take your C.
We would be calling for Quinn to be the starter.
I see your C.
I think you see how I want to hear Omar.
Y'all know who I am. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. That was
as a core class or an elective? I need to know.
If we go into the remedial class, I give it a C minus.
Wow, come on, man. He ain't even in that class. All right, man.
Okay, positive news. Since we're dumping in the negative here, and I'm being accused again of being negative.
Yeah.
People never having nice thing to say. Yeah. So there, take that, whoever it was. Will Kaczmarek had a reception, and all the defenders immediately were like, no, incomplete, because he was near the sideline, and it was a throw where he had to keep his feet in bounds, and he made the catch over his head, and then fell, came down, the feet down, and fell backward. I couldn't tell because of our angle, I couldn't tell if he kept his feet in bounds or if he was out of bounds. And all the defenders were like this. It doesn't matter. The execution of the catch, to me, told me
I will agree with you on that. He has got hands. Just because he didn't use them at Ohio State, he has got hands.
Our blocking tight end.
And Greg Dulcich.
Dulcich.
Right? Dulcich.
I have a mental block.
Yes, you do.
Top player on offense. Without Devon Achane, no question. You argue with me on that?
You mean right now or today?
I would say right now, skill player.
Yeah, that's an agreement, but not much evidence to stick.
I mean, who's better than him?
Skill position player. Yeah.
Who's better than him?
Malik Washington. It's more dependable.
No. He made more plays than Malik Washington last year.
He also had a fumble or a pass that broken up, the one that Ethan Bonner punched out.
Okay. I mean, defenders make good plays too. And give Ethan some praise. Ethan, I don't know if people give Ethan the respect he deserves. Because he's...
Go ahead. You're heading into dangerous territory.
I don't think people get... It's like whenever he makes a play, everybody's like, oh, Ethan Bonner made a play!
Oh, dude, we do that among ourselves because Joe Shattuck pumped his tire so prematurely a couple of years ago. And here's the thing is...
He can play, man.
There's potential there, but he's also been around for 3 years and this hasn't exactly gotten a ton of playing
time. Yeah, but if he hadn't suffered an injury in the Detroit exhibition game, he would have been the season opening starter.
Maybe.
He would have played over Jack Jones.
He was.
And we might not never have seen Jack Jones.
Well, I got two players that I have to ask y'all about. Jordan Phillips.
Big,
strong.
Man, that guy's big and strong.
He's a starter.
So is he how is he doing?
They don't do any run stuff, and that's what his job is.
Correct.
Gotcha.
He looked ready to play an NFL game.
Put in the work. It looks like he's putting the work on his body.
Zach Sealer said today something along the lines of he got in trouble for squatting too much.
Squatting too much?
No, squatting too much.
Squatting, that's funny.
Yeah, wow. he got in trouble for squatting too much weight.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I got one more player that I'm hearing too much about to not mention. Do we have something here that we can feel confident about? I'm hearing the coaches talk about him, players. He sounds confident. Dante Trader Jr.
Go ahead, Poupard.
I mean, he'll start.
Yeah, he'll start.
Too early for me to say. And unfortunately, TD, I'm not one to make bold predictions like that because I know you'd put him in the Hall of Fame already. But for me, it's like there's something there. I want to see more. But yeah, he'll be in the starting lineup.
There's something there. There's something there. He definitely stays healthy. Remember, I think he would have been the starter last year if he hadn't gotten injured. And I also think he should have
over Ashton Davis.
Over all of them.
Yeah, you would have started over Minka. Come on.
No,
come on.
Minka became the nickel. So he became at times.
I think there was a trust factor there with Ashton Davis. I don't know that Anthony Weaver had full confidence.
He should have played over Iffy all season. Let's put it that way.
That's not unreasonable.
I mean, and Iffy, no disrespect, but he's still unemployed. Not that he's a bad player, because I'm sure he could help this team. Like, you act like you got another safety on this roster. I can't tell you who's going to start.
Ronnie Johnson had a PBU. Of course, and here, TD, cover your ears. That was on a deep ball that was underthrown by Malik Willis.
Giving the secondary some opportunities.
Wanted to build up the confidence. There you go.
How do you digest the fact that we say Quinn Ewers played better?
Quinn Ewers must be getting really, really good. How I digest it. No, I think it's important because I'm really hard on quarterbacks, and Malik Willis. I said it today. He need to actually show up every day and wow people. Like, I need to hear some reports of wow moments. Like the last week, you know, threading the needle a few times. Okay, something there. Well, that's what I heard over there.
Where'd you hear that?
Oh, okay. Well,
did you see that? By the way, did you see that on that social media post today? That was a long bomb from Malik Willis to Chris Bell, who's not even practicing in the
car. Well, I saw it, but I wasn't impressed by Malik's pass. It looked like one of those Tua thoughts.
It was
Tua. Okay. Yeah. No, I knew that.
Yeah.
No, and then they're like passing it off like it's like Malik Willis to Chris Bell.
That might have done like 500 clicks today.
I know, right? Nah. By the way, 5,000.
Yeah, more than that, probably.
500,000.
Despite the fact that yours was looked more impressive today, because I had this in the comments on the All Offense podcast. No, that doesn't mean there's going to be a QB competition. Malik Willis, use a marker if you want Malik Willis in the starting lineup as the quarterback.
I wouldn't put it in marker because
you can use paint.
No. If you go all the training camp and you go exhibition game one, exhibition game two, and it looks like it looked today, and Quinn Ewers is closing the gap, I'm sorry. I don't care what I'm paying him. I got to open it up. I can't.
I'm not worried about OTAs, though, right?
Competition now. It's definitely not an open competition now.
No.
But I want to see aggressive passing. Quinn does that naturally. Malik feels like he has to grow up into it. And that makes me a little uncomfortable. Right now, we're not running. There is no run game. So there's no threat of the run. So Malik Willis cannot scramble out the pocket and play street ball. That's not what we're doing now. So it's not going to be to his advantage. But I need you to run a traditional offense. That's always been my thing with athletic mobile quarterbacks. You have to be able to run a traditional offense because we're not going to play street ball the whole game. If we play street ball the whole game and the whole season, you're going to be out by week 8.
Listen, man, I got high expectations. I need to hear good things. I don't need to hear these struggles. And it's OTAs.
Tell them some good things. Quinn Ewers had a great day. Jordan Brooks lit up Jalen Wright like the second play of practice, even though you're not supposed to hit anybody. Oh, it was like
in his way. He got in his way.
Yeah. Yeah, Jalen Wright got in Jordan Brooks's way. I told you, Greg
Dulcich.
Dulcich? Told you Greg Dulcich, top performer of the team. Wills Kazmarek, he could catch. I thought Patrick Paul had a nice day, even though there were some pressures there. Zeke Biggers looks thinner, which Zeke Biggers looks like a defensive end. And I am becoming more intrigued by that on a consistent, regular basis. And keep in mind, he was the biggest of all the defensive tackles. And now he looks like, you know who he looks like? He looks like McDaniels. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. Tony McDaniel.
Tony McDaniel. That's exactly who he looks like. Tony McDaniel, a big 6'7", 280, 290-pound, 5'3", technique defensive end. Didn't see – Jordan Brooks made the top play, lighting somebody up. But he got beat by Greg Dulcich.
Dulcich.
Yeah. Dulcich.
By the way, point out that play, he had very, very good coverage. And this is for you, TD. That was Malik's best throw of the day. And it was a nice catch by Dulcich because it was contested.
Yes. It was literally the only completion that Malik had over 15 yards.
I thought he had one to Malik down the field he had to go up and get.
There was one, but I don't think it was 15. I don't think it was 15. I think Juju Brents is the best cornerback. I don't think he's going to stay healthy, but I think he's the best cornerback. He moves differently than everybody else. And then, as you know, got to pay attention to this Zane Anderson kid. I don't know nothing about him, but he's relevant. You know what I'm talking about, Poop Art?
Yeah, except I'm struggling to see what you saw.
No, I didn't say he was good.
Oh, okay.
I said he was relevant.
Okay.
So I said
relevant. Y'all haven't mentioned Chris Johnson. Anything?
No, nothing. Noteworthy.
I haven't seen him practice well yet.
Jacob, same thing. Jacob had one play. We were talking about yours, nice throws. Had a beautiful little second level throw right over the outstretched arms of Rodriguez, right into the arms of Ben Sims. That was a very pretty throw. That was for you, Omar. That was a Tua type throw where he feathered it over the first defender. It was very very nice.
Yes, very very nice. Very very nice.
Well, one more thing.
Gay had a sack, and Willie Gay is a Sam. I don't know how or why, but it is what it is.
Listen, Coach Hafley, the players been talking about him, their experience with him. It looks like he's in the trenches. He's coaching things up. He's making sure that if even the coaches, because Zach Sealer mentioned this, even if the coach's message seemed like it may be muddled, he'll step in, clear it up, and get it done. Do we have like this Brian Flores, Mike McDaniel made a baby?
No.
Holla
at me.
I see what you're saying, TD. And by the way, he's great. He's great with us. He is so good with the media.
Holla at me when we face adversity. Holla at me.
For now, from the early impressions we have.
Holla at me when we face adversity.
Because it seems like he's a truth teller and he's blunt.
Yeah.
Let's get it right and let's move on.
Yeah, but I would think all the one thing I will say, and this came from Zach Sealer, and you're right. They're saying things that maybe Mike, but Mike was critical too. Mike was critical not to us, but in team meetings. So I don't know. They're not baby. I mean, but here's the thing.
But when players can point it out, like literally offer the information, it's like it's sticking with them, though, his the words that he's driving to them. It's actually has some glue power to it.
Well, yeah, when we have that thing over there that says the candid truth, that's Zach Sealer when he's asked, what's the biggest difference you've noticed with the new coaches? And that's what he volunteered. And my take is if he's saying that as the biggest difference, that suggests that maybe they weren't communicated to the way he would have liked them to.
As I sit here, I keep saying one more, two more, but I got another player y'all ain't talk about. I need now this one we should all have been talking about because we haven't even mentioned. Cool. And HN was talking about him. How, man, we got a massive line now. Proctor, man, what are we seeing?
I didn't notice him one way or the other. He's big.
Does that mean he's just doing his job?
Yeah. If you don't notice offensive linemen, then they're not getting beat.
Correct. And again, it's
but also the defensive tackles, they're not good.
But they got the advantage in OTAs, right?
They do. They do. I'll be honest with you, I do not pay a ton of attention to the line play in the OTAs. I mean, it's
I don't either. I'll pay attention when you give up a pressure and I have to declare it a sack. But
no, we don't have to declare sacks in OTAs.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I'm sorry. I've always felt like quarterbacks should wear flags and a defender should pull it off them.
Sure.
And then we can declare. But then that would put them at risk of getting hurt. But remember, who was it that used to put their hand up every time they made a play?
The Chubb?
No. It was like a rookie that just kept – he was just always like,
yeah, I remember.
I made a play, and he didn't even make no play. He it was a linebacker. And I can't remember who it was. They used to do that.
Wasn't Mo Camara, was it?
No. Mo Camara made no play.
Not very nice.
Is he even in the NFL now?
He ended last season with Jacksonville on their practice squad. Let me find out real quick.
Yeah.
While you're looking that up, Alan, I feel like I'm going to regret asking this, and I want to start with you, Alan, and then get Omar afterwards. The candid truth.
That's what we discussed. Yeah, go ahead.
Summarize this team, though. The candid truth. Just.
Oh, you want my candid truth? Okay, by the way, Michael Maris with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My candid truth is my opinion of this team hasn't changed. It's a talent-deficient team that's got some young players that have something but still have a ways to go.
Who is that young players?
Say what? All the rookies, second-year players. What? What's with this? What?
What rookie? Okay. All right, sure.
I mean,
It's a lot of cheap players on this team.
Correct, but you got
that's all I got.
13 draft picks. Yeah, you got an awful lot of what
cheap players on the team. You went to the dollar store and put a football team together.
Yes, they did.
So enjoy your dollar store dinner.
It's a talent deficient team. I still think that Halfley and Sullivan, at this point, very early on, without having played any games, without having faced any major adversity, look like good hires. But I'm sorry, you're going back to your statement yesterday of 8 or 9 wins or whatever you think it's going to be. Okay.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Alan. I'm not even going to sit here in front. I did say 11 wins is the ceiling, but after hearing y'all today, man.
It's just one OT.
I got to go to 10 wins, man. 10 wins.
It's one OTA practice, and I will say this. Defense is usually ahead of the offense. Defense, if OTAs favors them because they don't have to worry about the run. They just pin their ears back and go play ball. On offense, 11 guys got to be on the same page. You're installing a new offense. That's highly unlikely. I'm pretty sure. Hell, Tua. Sorry, I hate the fact that I mentioned his name.
He broke the rule.
Last year, the major complaint that you would hear internally on the team is receivers not running the right routes. And Tua is a veteran, experienced, savvy quarterback. We're talking about Jaylen Waddle. We're talking about Malik Washington. Those are smart guys that know their assignments, but people weren't running the right routes. And these guys, they don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. And they don't have chemistry. They don't know the offense. They probably barely know the terminology. The rookies barely know how to find their way home. But it's early. It's early.
Training camp, then you really start to put things together. Right now, what?
Nah, I don't think you put things together in training camp either. I think most of the times teams put things together in like the first month of the season.
No, but that's
you mean like new teams?
Teams in general.
Well, time will tell. We do want everyone watching right now, all 820 of you, to know that this stream is being powered by Prize Picks, ladies and gentlemen. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. And do y'all remember I came on last week? And no. Matter of fact, that was Monday. On Monday, I put this ticket in, man. I put this ticket right here in Alex Caruso, De'Aaron Fox, Shea, and Victor. And I said, I feel good about this one. It's going to hit. De'Aaron Fox was the only one that messed me up on this ticket, man. Wow. Everybody else hit.
How much?
I just put $5 to win 30, Omar. Right. Just a little gas money. That's all. Okay. Right?
But that ain't gonna cover your gas. Not today.
Oh, I know.
That might get your tank to like a quarter, like one-third full.
Not even. I was 140 the other day. But anyway, listen, man. But here's the beautiful part, though, about Prize Picks. Even though De'Aaron Fox didn't hit, I still hit. I was able to still win my ticket. Why? Because I picked the flex option. Okay, the flex option means that if you do four picks and you miss out on one, you still can get a payout. If you do five picks and miss out on two, you still can get a payout. Same thing with six picks missing out. So take advantage of the opportunity. You could either go straight up on your picks or you could do flex. And guess what? I didn't get it right, but I still profited off of it. So make sure that you play responsibly on Prize Picks. For those who can play responsibly and supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. But don't forget, take advantage of the sign up. Okay, play $5 and get $50 instantly in lineups using code HMA. Link is in the description of the video. Bam, got us back.
There you go.
All right. I didn't get Omar's, unless that was your blunt reaction. You were talking about all the stuff. Do you have any additional blunt reaction to this team overall?
Talent deficient. And we need to start combing the waiver wire. Not now.
Oh, they will.
Oh, they will.
Man, y'all just seem so doom and gloom, man.
I mean, it is what we're looking at. It's gonna be a while. That and
Halfley, where are my playoffs?
Halfley said it today. We're a young team, and yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are the second youngest team in the NFL. Okay, they're Super Bowl contenders. Like I don't like that. Oh, we're a young team. We're the youngest team in the NFL. Blah 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 blah. Like you chose to be the youngest team in the NFL. As I consistently say, you cannot tell me you can't. And I'm just picking these names because I know these players can beat out who is here.
Here we go.
Here we go. But get ready. And I understand you've been with Rasul Douglas. You know Rasul Douglas. Is there any cornerback on this team better than Rasul Douglas Poupart?
Nope.
Okay.
That Chris we know Shreve. Of.
Chris Johnson should become better than Rasul Douglas.
Eventually. By year three. And Chris Johnson's a nickel. Like, let's be real about it.
We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. I know he's not going to sign here. I know he's probably going to sign with the Patriots. Christian Wilkins. You telling me Christian Wilkins reuniting Salt and Pepper ain't going to benefit this defensive line? Who
you have that.
absolute no proof they can stop the run? You have no proof. None. Zero.
You have no proof Christian Wilkins is going to be the same old Christian Wilkins.
That is true. That I would rather – I would take that gamble, though.
You can bet on that. You can bet on
I would take – I would prize picks that. I would prize picks it.
Progress stopper.
Progress. Okay. Whose progress is he stopping? Kenneth Grant's progress?
Yes. They're kind of the same position players.
Is Kenneth Grant? Okay.
Yes.
I'm not worried about Kenneth Grant. Kenneth Grant needs to get in shape.
Whoa.
I'm lying.
You need Kenneth Grant to become a good player. In 2 or 3 years when the Dolphins legitimately are ready to contend, it would greatly help if you had Kenneth Grant getting ready to hit his stride as an NFL player, as a former first-round pick.
Would you prize picks it?
Kenneth Grant being a stud in year four?
Yeah. I didn't think you would.
You say year four?
Or year three?
Two.
It ain't gonna be two. Listen, when you look at and I don't want to shame.
Too late for that.
Physically challenge people. Okay. I like eating late at night too. When you look at Jordan Phillips' body, That's a guy who live in the gym.
Yeah.
Then you look at Zeke Biggers' weight loss. Zeke Biggers was the biggest defensive lineman. Now he looks like a defensive end. Why does Kenneth Grant look like Kenneth Grant? Answer that question for me.
He don't look like Proctor, though.
Big boned.
I'm not trying to shame nobody. If he was a nose tackle, which I thought he was at Michigan, then okay. But is he a nose tackle? He looks like a nose tackle.
So he not is he moving well I'm though? Talking, is he
we can't evaluate I'm just talking about the shape, the look. He don't look like Biggers. He don't look like Jordan Phillips.
No.
He damn sure don't look like Zach Sealer.
No. Not terribly defined, let's put it that way.
He don't even look like Jordan Phillips 1.0. And y'all know how I feel about that.
Jordan Phillips was the strongest looking dude on the team last year, and he looked.
I'm talking about the first Jordan Phillips.
Oh,
my best friend.
Oh my God, you said, dude, really? No, no.
Oh. He got a worse body than Jordan Phillips. Come on, don't lie.
No.
Yes.
And Jordan Phillips, no. Jordan Phillips is a sick athlete who had like a really, really unworked on body.
His body was, and I'm not going to let me just
move really? On. Okay. Okay. We can
agree. Oh, man. Well, we got some super chats to get into, man. This is what's going down in OTAs a lot, man. This is crazy, man. You get it right here, all the inside scoop. Oh boy, man, y'all really got my heart hurting tonight. But anywho, it's okay, Allen, man. I'm just gonna believe that Allen's
me,
a hater.
Allen, well, you expected it from me, but when Allen piled off,
Allen came with the punches. Oh no! All right, here we go. Omar, how does Chop look to you? Is he practicing his eye discipline from Marcellus Temple?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Still needs better eyes.
Still need way better eyes.
Ian Mason said the problem with Austin Jackson is he gets hurt all the time. The best ability is availability, and he's shown he's not available. Need other options.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he'll be ready.
Happening.
Omar and Poop, how did the route running look? Was there a bunch of bad spacing or receivers in the same areas? Do they look lost like last year?
Yes.
See, and I was about to say I didn't notice any of that today.
I listened to you on that one.
It's not good, but then keep in mind the defense is knowing and all pass. It's all pass. But there some of those overthrows, there those receivers were open. Some of the overthrows, some of the overthrows, those receivers were open.
Yep.
They just don't have chemistry right now.
Got it. Well, that helps. That really helps. Oh, really crushing them. All right. Malik, not accurate, isn't surprising to me. I hope he proves me wrong, but I just don't see it with him. I'm scared he's good enough not to be good enough, and that results in another round first.
Nightmare scenario right there.
Oh, it doesn't matter where you are picked in the draft. You just go find good players. Go make a deal.
Do you need a quarterback? It makes a difference if you're in the top five as opposed to being 12 or 13.
I don't care. Listen, good evaluators find good players. Let's hope you have a good evaluator. Like the Kansas City Chiefs, they never needed to draft up. They traded up to go get the best quarterback in the NFL.
They got him at 10 out of 12.
Yeah, they got him at 10 out of 12. They figured it out. They made it happen.
Okay.
They made it happen. Did they not make it happen?
Yeah.
Sure.
Slipping Jimmy said it was a Tua A+. I get it.
What does that mean?
Malik Willis's C- and D+ is the equivalence of a Tua A+.
Bar is a lot higher than Tua's. That's what he's suggesting.
Sure, Malik struggles throwing the ball, but haven't you heard how great of a guy he is? That seems to be all half and just care about when asked about him.
Because he's a great guy. Like, would you rather have Jay Cutler?
I'd rather
have Why are we saying he's struggling throwing the ball? He had a day. He had a day struggling throwing the ball. Is that who he is now?
I agree. He wasn't great last week either.
I will say this. If I had any complaint, I'm with Ian on that one. It's like it's all great and dandy that the guys that they brought in are good people and all that. That should not be the first thing I hear about. The other one I don't want to hear is football's important to him.
Oh my God! But you know what I think? I don't think Jeff Hafley is gonna worry about Malik at all because he know he's a gamer. He's a gamer. That's who he is.
Practice needs to still look respectable.
Of course it does. But if it doesn't, he's still a gamer. He's still gonna go out there and make plays and improvise and make something out of nothing at times.
This reminds me of this conversation that we're having because. I think we're going to spend all OTAs and minicamps telling you how good the defense is, and then we're going to get to the season, and the defense is going to be booty cheeks. It reminds me of the Kenneth Grant Jonas Savanaya battles in training camp last year. I will watch it and be like, both of them are bad. Like, and people are like, oh, you see that? It's Kenneth Grant, I mean, Jonas Savanaya is up here blocking Kenneth Grant. He's killing him. He's doing this. I'd be like, both of them suck.
No. But won't we won't really know until the joint practices, though, right?
That's true. It's true.
Yeah. Malik will take care of that. All right. Laughing my arse off. You mean to tell me Malik wasn't Lamar today? Get out of here, Lino. Gosh, like, stop. Get out of here, man.
Lino is like your arch rival. Your nemesis.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't need to be Lamar Jackson. He has to be Jalen Hurts. Let's lower the bar. Hell, I'll take Kyler Murray.
Let's stop with that. Please stop with that. That would have been disastrous if he was here. But anyway, I understand the talent is not there right now, but is this at least building up our depth, stock up on depth this year and draft better talent in 2027?
Probably might be 30 players on this team that belong on a 53-man roster.
That's tough, man.
No disrespect.
That we know of.
Disrespect.
No disrespect.
That we know of.
Am I lying, Papar?
No, you're right, but it's still disrespectful.
that we know of. There's a lot of unknown.
My bad. I apologize if that hurt your anybody's feelings. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, what is the Bobby Slowick offense?
I'll take 40 players. 40 players that belong in the NFL roster.
Does that make you feel better? That is better, though. It's a difference, trust me. What is the Bobby Slowick offensive scheme? Is there confidence in his status as OC? You know, a lot of people point to what happened in Houston with CJ Stroud, where they're a little skeptical. You know, one minute it's all great, the next moment it's bad. Mm-hmm. Not really more so the scheme, because I don't think y'all can really discuss schematics. But what do y'all think about the offense just in general?
We can tell you it's from the Shanahan tree.
I haven't seen one running play in two practices. Not one.
They know we're gonna run the ball better than anybody, man. Okay. You know who we got in the backfield?
I mean, it's OTA, so it's like, that's the point I'm trying to make. You can't evaluate it because they're not running, but the defense is also not blitzing. They're just vanilla. It's like, it's vanilla. It don't even have no Oreo sprinkles on it. It's just straight vanilla. Like, not cookies. Crumble Oreos. And crumble Oreos gets better if you use real Oreos. You know what I'm saying? You crush them up, put them in a bag, crush them up, then put them in ice cream.
That McDonald's dessert, that's really good with the Oreos.
No, they serve those at Tootsie's Island. What about Kyle?
I'm gonna let that shot ride. What about Kyle? I know I cut you deep.
You know what? It's OTAs. You can't break my spirit. Now we get in training camp and we having these conversations. Ah, boy, that would hurt. Because that would really hurt me. But we'll see. Kyle Lewis, anything on him?
No plays today, but Trey Moore made a play. I don't remember what it was, Cardwell.
Picked up the loose ball when Ethan Bonner punched it out of Dulcich's hands for a PBU or a fumble, one of the two. Who knows?
Yeah, I told you Papar going to remember. I didn't remember. I was like, he did something.
Oh, my gosh, man. Well, first off, thank y'all for being on the ground, boots on the ground, doing what you guys do. Getting the firsthand information, and we definitely trust, what y'all are saying today, even if we don't like it. But here's what I will say, man, ladies and gentlemen, show your love, especially for these two guys, by going to follow their work as well. Omar, let them know where they can follow you at.
I'm at the Miami Herald. I do a podcast with Miami Herald called Dolphins in Depth. We will be podcasting tomorrow, and I'm on the Dolphins Collective, and I'm proud of it. So,
love it. What about you, Alan? Hope you're proud.
Am I proud? I'm sorry. I'm actually sad and sorry I hurt your feelings, but no. I'm thinking you want me to tell you how I saw it. Anyway, you can catch me on the All Dolphins podcast several times a week, and also the written content, all for free, MiamiDolphinsOnSI.com.
But there you have it. And don't forget to go check out Dougley Do Wrong, DDW. Y'all already know. Go on YouTube and search the channel. Subscribe to the channel and make sure you show your love. Show them some love in the comment section as well. And you can find me at TD Fins Talk. But listen, man, things may have not have been the best today for the offense. But real Dolphin fans know that it's fins up no matter what. All right. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Don't forget, we're also on podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to Dolphins Collective. And we're pretty much everywhere. So go check us out. We appreciate all the love and support. And hype this video. Hype this video right here. Get it on the leaderboard, because our videos just continue to be on the hype leaderboard. Thanks to each and every one of you. Shout out to all the members of the channel. Shout out to the Mod Squad. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Fins up. We are out. Peace. We'll see you soon.